Hi, I'm one of the High Priests of Khonshu Rey, and I have the sacred privilege of providing you, the Loony Listener, with a podcast honouring Marvel's very own Moon Knight. So join me and a host of others at Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, or support the show by becoming a Patreon member. Into the Night, a Moon Knight podcast. It's time to get your Khonshu on.
Hello, I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And welcome to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Son of Batman.
I'm just going to say that it's already one of my favourites.
I wonder why. The film that heavily features Damian Wayne and features quite heavily Nightwing, I wonder why you like it.
I didn't know Nightwing was in it. It was such a... I actually gasped.
So, joining us for this episode as well, we another podcaster. He is a presenter on, amongst other podcasts, the Into the Night podcast, a Moon Knight podcast. Last Sons of Krypton, alongside Connor, who has appeared on a few episodes, including, well, actually the one that I released this week when we recorded, as well as To Know Her is to Fear Her, a Spider-Woman podcast. Please welcome to the DCU podcast, Ray.
Hey, how you going, Alan, Rebecca? Very, very happy to be here. Thank you so much for having me. And yes, Son of Batman, I know exactly, Rebecca, what you were talking about as well. That would have been, something to behold.
Yeah, I literally was like chugging along, watching it happily and just went...
It's cool, those little, not only... Nightwing, but those little cameos that you just don't expect. They're so cool. I really love them as well.
That's one of the nicest thing about the whole thing is that occasionally people just show up.
Yeah. Just nice and reassuring that it's like you're part of this bigger universe.
Yeah.
This story is part of the bigger universe. Yeah.
So what is your experience with Batman, with the animated movies, Ray?
Happy to say absolutely zero. So... I really don't know. Look, I've heard a lot of people talk about, quality of the animation. I've watched a few, like, Superman ones, of course, because of Last Sons of Krypton. And, so we've discussed, the quality of the animation, obviously the storytelling and such. But, as far as Batman the character goes and the other characters that we do see here as well, I'm pretty much limited in my knowledge of them as well. So everything was kind of like, I'm here for the ride. I don't even know what is canon in comics or not. That sort of thing.
Ray's much more on the Marvel side with me.
Yeah. So a different story, unfortunately. But I am learning DC. I've found a lot of interesting characters over there as well. I've recently found an interest in the likes of the Spectre, Dr. Fate. Yeah, and so, I'm keen to delve into more DC stuff. So this was perfect, and I was very curious about the animated movies from DC because a lot of people are always talking about them, in high regard, and I can say that, I was pretty impressed.
So Son of Batman is the third DC animated movie universe film. It's the previous two being The Flashpoint Paradox, Justice League, The Flashpoint Paradox, because again, even though that was a Flash film, it had to be called Justice League for some reason. And Justice League War, which was actually a Justice League film. So, it's not quite clear when this film relates to Justice League War. I'm assuming after, because it seems to be that Batman has a working relationship with the police, which he didn't have in Justice League War.
Yeah, they don't bother establishing why, though. I quite like that. I mean, I think there was already a lot of setup in this film that wasn't really needed to be as long as it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
In fact, it must be quite a bit later, because not only has Batman been around for a while, he must have, one, been around long enough to have a 10-year-old son?
I think it's 10 or 11. I think maybe 11.
and had at least one Robin.
Well, yeah, so that was.
He's gone through a few Robins, so but yes.
But yeah. What I'm meaning is, by the start of Justice League War, it was like he was still at the. Oh, is there actually a Batman? We didn't know that stage.
Yeah.
So it's obviously been a significant time jump.
An ageless time jump as well.
Yes.
Must be.
They're always ageless.
Yeah.
And Alfred's
true.
Looking pretty young in this one as well.
Oh, he's looking pretty spry.
He's pretty spry, yeah.
Yeah.
He was good, actually. I enjoyed his sense of humour.
Yeah.
Or dry humour.
He always gets a good, like, if you do watch any more of these, Ray, Alfred, he always gets, like, a good part. Always.
Does he?
It's like no writer would dare write a bad Alfred.
Oh, yeah, that's good, because it could easily be just, like, a throwaway. Like, just, you know...
He always seems to get at least one funny comment.
Mm, nice.
It's still one of the things I'm most looking forward to when we do the Lego Batman movie.
Yeah, well, the Lego Batman movies are the best, but, you know, say that.
So, we start... The cold open to this film has no Batman in it.
Yes.
Because instead we are introduced to the League of Assassins... And Ra's al Ghul, because I'm going to get it right this time.
Yeah.
Damn you, Christopher Nolan. So he's there with his son, his daughter, and his grandson watching the League of Assassins synchronized sword team.
Yeah. They're doing some training.
Yeah.
Nice parade, yeah.
So the League is attacked by... A group of assassins led by Deathstroke.
Yeah, I didn't recognise him. He looked too wizened, but fair. Once they named him, and I got the costume was him, but I couldn't quite place it because it didn't look like I'm used to seeing Deathstroke look, I guess.
Oh, sorry, I was about to say, so right about now then, I guess right off the bat, in comics then, is there a link between Deathstroke and... Ra's al Ghul.
So this is
totally just like.
I think so. Like I think they've sometimes been after the same target in terms of mercenaries and assassins. I don't really know either. But I think that's the only time they tend to cross.
I mean, Ra's is essentially effectively an eco terrorist. Is basically the. You know, before eco-terrorism was the kind of default bad guy, as it's kind of happened now. In terms of, I mean, Talia's often been a big part of it. The son who's kind of... He's appeared now and again in the comic books. So I've not really read anything with him. Okay. The only thing I know about him is that he's an albino and... Ra's pretty much rejected him. Same with... It's almost half the stories involving Ra's is either him trying to recruit Batman. There are multiple versions. He's actually responsible for the training of Batman. including, obviously, the Nolan movie.
Yeah.
Either working with or against Ila Nissa, Ratko, Talia al Ghul, or Dusan al Ghul. Which of the is three children.
Right.
And, yeah, it's... A lot of it tends to be focused on... certainly anything I've seen with Ra's, which is mainly Batman the Animated Series. It's that sort of thing of... The temptation with Ra's is... Ra's is giving Batman actually the thing he wants... Except to do it, he has to kill people.
Yeah.
Which is, that's the conflict in that often kind of resides there. This is the
and
first...
It comes, that kind of comes out in this one as well. You see with Damian, that the point of difference between him and Batman was his the way he was raised, I guess, in the League of Assassins, and he's got no compunction to kill.
Yeah, no, he's all for killing.
Yeah.
And not in the same way as Red Hood. It's more like he's literally been trained, that's the way, and like in this very hard world.
Yeah, it's the default setting, not the not a choice.
Yeah, it's less that he's seen the world around him and that's his reaction to it, and more that's how he's been conditioned from birth, but he's not seen the world outside to challenge that.
Yeah.
So so that's the difference, is that, like, Jason was made by the outside world, and his reaction to that cruelty is to react like that. Yeah. And it's not like Jason's off killing people left, right, and centre. He just doesn't, like, have the same rules about it, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yep. I think Batman says something along the lines of that as well in this episode, this movie, to Damian, about, like, you know, how can you be something about humanity when you don't, you've had no humanity or something around you?
Yeah, I've actually experienced it.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty much from the comics of this
story. Oh, okay.
So, one other thing that's quite clear from very early on in this movie, if you aren't Batman, Nightwing, Talia, Damian, Ra's, or Deathstroke, you are very easily defeated in a fight. Because every time one of those people starts attacking, everyone around them's beaten.
Yeah.
I also noticed at one point there's a Gatling bow?
It's
like a Gatling gun that fires arrows.
Really ridiculous.
That's great. Everyone should have one.
Everyone should have one.
And Deathstroke manages to kill Ra's by sneaking him into a position where he can be fired upon by missiles.
Yeah, even Ra's can't protect himself against missiles.
And when you actually see him after the missile strike, it's quite... See, this is the difference between this and Flashpoint. With this, when something that violent happens, because it's a one-off, it actually stands out a lot more.
And you're seeing a young kid react to their
Their grandfather. Just as Deathstroke is about to strike Ra's down, Damian attacks, stabs him in the eye.
It's your first sign that no one cares. that Damien doesn't care, I mean.
Yeah. Also, I find it interesting that Deathstroke apparently has no ill effects from losing an eye.
Oh, nice. Depth of field, unaffected. Yeah, for sure. Although he doesn't seem to be as dangerous as what I've heard he can be. Right?
No, he doesn't. But he does. Yeah. He has planned to take out... I mean, he does take out Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah.
Which is pretty dangerous.
Deathstroke's... He's a character that shows up quite often with Batman. Most times he's been... It's implied he's like a failed super soldier experiment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's... This is the first time I've actually seen him portrayed as not being the result of, like, a super serum being tested on him and it didn't work out as well as they thought. He's often portrayed as one of the best fighters in the DC universe.
Yeah.
I think he's gone toe-to-toe with most of the superheroes of the Justice League. And either come close or been able to live with them. So that... tells you how good he's meant to be.
Mm.
There is a Deathstroke movie we're covering down the line, which is... it came out a couple of years ago. Knights and Dragons, the movie. That came out last year, so there is a Deathstroke film.
I remember that when that came out.
Plus he shows up in a load of other things. He also... I think he's occasionally linked with the Suicide Squad.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't read much Suicide Squad, so...
And interestingly, actually, because Assault on Arkham, which is the next film we're doing, the way they set that up, because it's set in the same universe as the Arkham games, they actually set up the Suicide Squad in Arkham Origins, but they set it up, they seem to be implying that Deathstroke's going to be part of it, and then he's not in that film. So, yeah, it's, but Deathstroke is certainly a key kind of figure. Azazel gets stabbed in the eye, runs away with the mercs. Damien recognizes one of the mercs. And then Raz has managed to drag himself right to the edge of a Lazarus pit before dying.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently he's too damaged for the Lazarus pit to work, even though Damien tries to drag his grandfather in.
Yeah.
Chris, you know, crispy.
It should work.
It should work, shouldn't it? Should it? Does it?
Yeah, but then they come up with some like reason why it doesn't work.
It's, I mean, Lazarus pits, the rules of Lazarus pits don't
make sense.
It's like,
basically,
sometimes the Lazarus pit can, you know, bring back a corpse that, I mean, it's, heck, you know, it brought back Jason Todd.
Yeah, after 2 years.
After 2 years, after being beaten to pieces, you know, beaten to pieces.
Yeah. So the rules are, yeah, exactly, the rules are not very clear.
Riddler had a brain tumor cured by a Lazarus pit, I'm sure.
Someone like has, that. Yeah, yeah.
So, but anyway, he's too damaged, so he's out of this film because they could only afford to pay Giancarlo Esposito for like a day.
Get him in early. That's it.
I do. So when he was talking, I was like, no, they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had a perfect race as well, and Jason Isaacs has done it. Anyway, so Talia decides the best thing to do with Damien is to send him to his father.
Yes, that she raped.
Yes, I was going to talk about this later, but let's get this out of the way.
It is honestly one of the most despicable things in the comics, and it's not like the first time they've used her doing things like this. So,
so this is accurate to the comic.
This is accurate to the comic. She drugs him and has sex with him.
Well, that's because that happened in the comic books in the 70s or 80s, and then they used that later to come up with Damian Wayne. It's like, this is how Damian Wayne was born. Was, you remember that time that she date raped Batman? Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think she also does it for Dick.
What, to Dick Grayson?
Yes, I think so. Maybe. Oh, someone does.
Okay.
No, it was Tarantula who did.
Okay. So, I mean, it's because that's what I'm thinking. It's kind of, if you switch the genders for that would be like,
you couldn't. And it's just like, oh yeah, and you know, and the fact that even he's not kind of like, hello, you rape me. He's more like, oh, I've got a son.
Just continually stoic about everything.
Yeah.
Can't show an emotion.
So, yeah,
exactly.
Before that, however, Batman has to fight Killer Croc.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a bit random. That's just to get him in, isn't it? I mean, like, you know, like, after this, I mean, it is quite a lengthy intro there for, like, what we, I think they could have summarized it a lot faster, but I guess they're padding it out and it wasn't too bad, so fair enough.
Yeah.
So,
I tell you what though, I really am at this stage just digging the action sequences. So,
yeah, they're pretty good, right?
Watching these, throughout this whole movie, this animated, I totally rate this animated style and, yeah, just the way it moves and the sequences are really good.
Yeah, it's not really something that they've had the chance to do with the previous two films with this animation style, is have a lot of hand-to-hand combat. So it's actually, now that they've actually, I noticed that as well, there's a few different fight scenes that are really, really quite high quality.
Yeah.
But the reason that I think Killer Croc is used is there are hints that there's been severe things done to Croc. His skin is now batarang proof. And he has a tail.
Got a tail.
Yeah, I like the tail, right? He was quite into the tail.
Yeah, he's into the tail.
I mean, who wouldn't be?
That's another, another limb.
The tail, yeah.
It's great.
And Batman is about to be lunch when Talia arrives.
Yeah.
And goes, I will save you from being eaten.
Which she does.
The only person that gets to bite you is me. Or something. Oh, no,
yeah, that's right.
Really, like, yeah. Creepy, considering, like,
it's really
monsters. You know, like,
yeah,
oh, why?
Gosh, yeah.
So we get a very basic introduction of, oh, Bruce, this is your son from that time. Do you remember that time? That we're going to mention on multiple occasions.
In case anyone hasn't quite understood why.
Yeah.
You have a son.
And it's also, one thing that it's also pointed out is, so we're also told the reason that Deathstroke attacked is Deathstroke was meant to be the next in line to take over the League of Assassins when Ra's passed away, so Ra's passed away, and then Ra's saw Batman and said, no, that one.
Well, which makes sense.
I want that one,
Damien, now we do later see young Bruce Wayne, and they are pretty much, I think they use the same character model.
Well, that's what confused me at the start. So, it did.
So Batman takes Damien home. He and Alfred get on very well.
That was quite fun to see.
That was great.
Yeah.
Pretty much it's every time something, Damien sees something, is like, oh, that's not as big as I thought it would be. Oh, that's not good.
Yeah.
Oh, this is...
You've only got one servant.
Meanwhile, Dr. Kirk Langstrom, who, by this point, has obviously been Man Bat at some point.
You see, I didn't know who he was. I had no idea. I was like, well, who is this dude and why does anyone care?
So, okay. Kirk Langstrom is the Man Bat.
Cool.
Which, he is the first villain to appear in Batman the Animated Series. The first episode is Man-Bat.
Oh.
Which is really good fun. We've seen Man-Bat before. This is, in this film, he never actually turns into Man-Bat himself.
Which is possibly why I didn't recognise who he was, but yeah.
Kirk Langstrom also plays an alternative version of Batman in Justice League Gods of Monsters, which we're going to be watching at some point, where he's effectively a vampire.
Okay.
Ooh, nice.
Voiced by Michael C. Hall.
Ooh, nice.
Oh, is that Dexter?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool, nice.
So, we're just going to cut to Kirk Langstrom is working on something, and we cut back to Damien looking around the Batcave, looking at the Robin costume.
Coveting it.
Yes, immediately.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, he's probably never seen anything that colourful before.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he really does diss it, doesn't he?
The thing is, he keeps on going, oh, it looks like a dress, or it looks like...
Yeah, he's just...
Needs some
just,
lace.
He's funny.
Yeah.
He's so sassy.
We then cut back to... So Kirk Langstrom arrives to find that his family is being kidnapped because even though he's working on something for Ra's, Deathstroke wants it done faster.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what that is yet, but... it's the guy who's Man-Bat, and we already have proof that someone is taking on more animalistic traits and stealing drugs that he wouldn't normally steal. So it's already kind of, I wonder if these two things are connected.
Yeah, exactly.
Meanwhile, Damien's already found a sword.
Of course, if there's going to be a sword, he'll find the sword.
And Batman's Robin sense is tingling.
Yeah.
Oh, here's a chance for
the right
another
age.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
It's like the second he watches him, actually, he's like, Robin.
Those two.
Yeah, those two
bat ears.
Just try the outfit on. See what happens.
And then Damien sneaks into Bruce's office.
Yeah, what did he say? He said like something like birds' nests got more security.
Yeah,
like,
that was hilarious.
Yeah. He's a pretty, I mean, for a 10-year-old, like, he's massively resourceful and highly intelligent.
It's training, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, it's training in his genes.
Yeah, and his genes, yeah, definitely.
Because turns out when you have a family line of Batman and Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, it's pretty good, right?
So, he's already managed to track down Ubu.
I love the name. Yeah. Just.
And, yeah. And he gets grounded by Bruce.
Bless. He's never been grounded before. It's a definite insult.
Yeah. Talia then attacks Deathstroke, who's managed to occupy Ra's al Ghul's base. Talia's the only one left alive, and she gets knocked out and captured.
There's a fair bit of, again, my inexperience with it, and it happened at the beginning. Like, it's kind of fairly graphic as well. I guess, you know, shurikens and swords.
A lot.
I mean, I don't mind it. I don't mind it at all. But it's just like, yeah, it's like, oh, cool. All right, they're doing that.
A lot of the DCMU films are kind of heavy 12s to 15s.
Mm-hmm.
They are kind of aimed at. I mean, it's also. I mean, when these films started to come up before. Well, it was the kind of between phase of between The Dark Knight Rises and Man of Steel. So, a lot of the DC stuff that had come out before this was very kind of lighthearted. So it's one of the things, as I said, with, for instance, with when we covered Flashpoint Paradox, it's this sort of weird thing of the way we look at DC films now is very different because there's been a lot of the stuff like the Snyder films, it's kind of went down a very dark direction, whereas at this point that was quite unusual.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely, I mean, this is actually, if anything, this is the least violent, I would say. Well, maybe not, no, it's kind of maybe level of violence with Justice League War. It's definitely less violent than Flashpoint Paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool.
Flashpoint Paradox is very explicit.
Wow.
And I do know that by the very end, so by Apocalypse War, I think Apocalypse War, if it's not an 18, it's not far off.
Oh, wow. Right.
Yeah, there's some stuff in that even I was like, ooh. And I'm a proper horror nerd, so you have to be doing well to get me to react like that.
I can't wait.
For it to be over.
I'm so bad with that kind of stuff, but hey.
Batman goes to Arkham Asylum, where we get hints of Two-Face and Joker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Before Batman interrogates Killer Croc, who, because he's no longer getting treated by mutagens, his skin's falling apart.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah, the scales and stuff.
Batman rips his tail off.
Yeah, I.
And
I
he likes his tail, like I said.
I know it was a cruel thing
it
to
was
do.
Nasty.
But yeah, that surprised me. But of course, yeah, upon thinking, he is kind of falling apart, so to speak. But I thought, like, what? So Batman can just rip off limbs, like.
Yeah. But, right. Why not?
But I guess yeah, he was withering.
Yeah. But that's, I mean, that, it's not really that surprising when you think about someone, you know, Batman is a guy who would break an arm or a leg. So yes, if he can rip off a tail.
I know, but it's, you know, pretty nasty.
It is. It's not, if he doesn't like killing, he's mutilating someone.
Yeah, literally.
So Batman then gets to the Langstrom house lab, mm-hmm. where he gets attacked by a winged gorilla vampire hybrid.
I love it.
It's amazing. It's like
literally bonkers, Rebecca.
It is
kind of going crazy doolally.
Yeah. It's just like all over the place. Hilarious.
So Batman's very easily able to defeat the vampire gorilla. A drone then attacks the lab. Though Batman puts the fire out by dropping a water tower on it.
Okie doke.
With all the bombs. Because he goes to the 1600 school of putting fires out, which is explosions.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Ubu has some friends over. We'll leave it at that because we are technically speaking not an explicit podcast. But he's then attacked by Damien. And yeah, we get a chase scene where this gigantic man is running from a 10-year-old child.
Okay,
very
cool.
Very good. Like, very good at fighting 10-year-old child, but yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. I wasn't the only one kind of thinking that while watching it. Because, yeah, he is huge.
Yeah,
and he's massive. Like, and Damien's kind of like chasing him. He's got bear claws or something on already. And it's
very funny. Quite...
So, just as Ubu is about to be killed by Damien, a wild Nightwing appears.
Yay.
And then off screen easily defeats Damien. Well, I say easily. Wow. Defeats Damien, but
he's cut up.
Yeah, it seemed like there was quite a battle off screen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have enough time to pad out a bunch of stuff, but we don't have time to see the two the two protégés fight in probably what was the best fight of the film.
You're probably right. Yeah, that would have been something to see.
Yeah, it probably would have been quite fun as well with all the snarking at each other.
Yeah.
Oh, well, they missed it.
We got the gorilla vampire instead.
We get to see them again together.
Yeah, true.
So Batman pulls in his two apprentices and really puts Damien in his place.
And
goes down the line of, So Ubu cannot respond. Ubu cannot respond. Do you know what people who can't respond can't do? Give you information.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is quite a dressing down. However, his punishment for all of that is he decides, as I'm sure Dick Grayson was thrilled to figure out, that Damien should be the new Robin.
Yeah,
that's
because,
right.
You know, age. And he's a better fighter. I mean, if you take on Nightwing, he's clearly already all right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Batman says a couple of times as well how much potential he's got. And
yeah.
You know, his reflexes, he threw a shuriken at his head.
Yeah. he's like, what if I hadn't caught it? Oh, I had faith. You know, it's fine.
Yeah.
So Batman is able to figure out that the facts are kind of coming together. Kirk Langstrom was stealing mutagens. He was using Killer Croc to do it for the price of some of those being used on Killer Croc. They then go and speak to Gordon, who goes, oh, another one.
Yeah, I'll just size him up.
Voiced by the same guy who voiced Ubu as well.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Actually, there's a few. I'm just having a look at the cast here. So, Jason O'Mara was Batman. Stuart Allen plays Robin / Damian Wayne. He is the voice of Damian Wayne throughout. So he plays him up until Apocalypse War.
Oh, cool. I thought you meant throughout this film. That didn't make as much sense.
He's
very good, by the way, as well.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah, I thought he's great. Perfect snarky.
We've got a couple of... So Marina Baccarin is playing Talia. Sean Mayer's playing Nightwing. David McCallum's playing Alfred Pennyworth. They've got people voice cast for Penguin and Bane.
Oh.
Didn't see either of them.
I don't remember them. Maybe they were voices in Arkham or something.
Yeah, it must have been. So yeah, there's a few of the kind of the same voice actors that kind of show up in a lot of these films.
Mm-hmm.
As well. So anyway, back to the actual film. So Gordon has found a napkin or something with there's a phone number written on it, which is a adult line.
Oh yeah, that was funny. Yeah, that was good.
And it's from the Gotham Coliseum, because only Gotham could have an abandoned stadium and amusement park.
Yeah.
we get a flashback to Batman's dad taking Bruce to this amusement park as a kid.
Yeah. Because they've been everywhere. Anything abandoned, they have to have been as a child.
And it always seems to be so that they can do the gag of, oh, Batman is taking his son to the baseball stadium.
Yeah.
So Batman and Robin go they try and sneak into the stadium, but every time that they successfully do some sort of sneaking, Damian gives their position away by being impulsive and attacking.
Yeah.
Multiple times.
Yeah, a bit of an experience there.
Yeah. And one thing that they do have is they're successfully able to, one, escape the Colosseum, even though it's filled with man-bats.
It really is as well, like, absolutely filled.
And two, they manage to get Kirk Langstrom out. In fact, one other thing I noticed, so the way that they actually stop the man-bats is by hitting them with bits of stadium. And this doesn't kill them somehow.
It's a very accurately placed kind of batarang with the bombs. I don't know.
Yeah. I get the impression that this is a Batman that's going to... It's not that he doesn't kill, it's more that he doesn't go for the killing blow.
I think it's very much that definition of it.
So Langstrom, Batman basically tries to convince Langstrom to develop a cure to the Man-Bat serum, which, if he was previously Man-Bat, surely there'd be some of that lying about anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Use it all up.
Yeah. So Deathstroke is able to figure out that Robin is the child that stabbed him in the eye, and also by extrapolation, well, if he's been left with Batman, he must be Batman's son.
Yeah, that's
true.
It's a fair leap, considering like no one's ever seen a Batman son before, but whatever.
Exactly. It could have easily been another Dick Grayson, you know, that sort of thing. Just
I think it's more the leap of, I can understand the leap of, oh, that kid has ended up with Batman, but that could even just be, well, Batman, owes the League of Assassins a favor, so he's babysitting or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's a jump to go, oh, they must be related.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Their chins resemble each other. They must be. They must be
some. Exactly.
So, Deathstroke tries to get Talia to give him Batman's identity. They then go to the League of Assassins base, which appears to be completely abandoned, apart from the two hostages that they've just left there. Well, there is a discernible reason, which is one of them has a message for Robin, but still.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's called Rebecca.
Yeah, that's right. I made a note of that as well. It's going,
there's not many comic characters called Rebecca, so.
Yep. I think you should get her haircut just to commemorate it.
I have had her haircut previously in my life.
So, the message that Deathstroke has left for Robin is, I've kidnapped your mother and we're keeping her in a compound just outside Scotland.
Because why not?
Why not?
We're going to have nothing to prove in Scotland. The world is far too nice. yes, it's in Scotland. Batman goes back to London for some reason.
Because they don't understand British geography is the reason.
We need a British city. London. Yeah.
Scotland, London. It's
literally the other corner of the country.
It's almost as good as Robin Hood, where they go from like Hadrian's Wall to Dover in like less than a day. It's one of my favorite like people not understand. Well, there was one in a Marvel comic as well where they go from like Cambridge to London in like 5 minutes or something ridiculous. Okay.
Or Thor's experience on the London Underground.
yeah, that was terrible.
Yeah. So, Tally is an oil rig. Nightwing and Langstrom are working together on the cure. Batman figures out that Tally has been captured. He's trying to hide this fact from Damien.
That's right. Yep, he closes the door.
Damien might go full on crazy.
Yeah.
And then when it turns out Damien escapes, Nightwing's gone, well, it's not like he all swam there.
And he did.
Because he's crazy. And yet, despite...
Sorry, Alan and Rebecca, can I ask, is Damien like this in the comics? Is he... I know a lot of people don't like him as a character because he's...
absolutely like this in the comics.
Yes. I think it's pretty...
I love it. It's a fun take. It's a fun dynamic because, you know, he's been brought up to feel he's better than everyone else. Yeah. So he automatically has this difference from any of the other Robins.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, I don't know, the same sort of appeal as if I'm to use like a Marvel thing like Namor or Quicksilver. There's a little bit of arrogance there.
It's quite nice to have someone with that slightly different attitude.
It is that thing though with the Robins, there is this sort of, they have each distinctive qualities. When you, Dick Grayson, obviously the first Robin, Jason Todd, very different in terms of his upbringing, in terms of his attitude. Tim Drake's obviously very different from both of them. And then we've got, I mean, literally with Damian Wayne, it's, Damien's the one that's actually had to be toned down instead of kind of trained.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's just the kind of four main ones. There's obviously been a dozen or so other kind of one-off or short-term Robins. I mean, it's Damian Wayne, I believe, was the first Robin I read in a comic book.
That's quite cool.
Oh, wow.
Because my first, well, my first Batman comic book was Battle for the Cowl.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it would have been.
Where it's, well, that's, you know, all four Robins are involved.
Yeah, but Damien's actually Robin at the time.
Damien's actually Robin at the time, yeah.
Because that leads into Nightwing as Batman.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, cool.
Yeah. Oh, my God, Ray, you'd love it.
Yeah, Dick Grayson's Batman.
Dick's Batman and Damien's Robin.
Oh, well, I don't mind.
Like, they're like the two Dick polar Grayson's opposites cool. of like kind versus sassy, and it works so well. Like, it just works incredibly well.
Nice.
That was during the arc where Bruce Wayne was killed and instead has to travel through time to get back to his own time.
It's like Cap. It happens.
Oh.
You know.
Is this in the 2000s? When was this?
This is pre-New 52.
Yeah, just before the pre-New 52.
Oh, okay.
It was Battle for the Cowl, and so it was... I can't remember what the arc was before that, that Bruce Wayne... But it ends with Bruce Wayne dying.
Yeah.
And
Batman
R.I.P. That's the one, Batman R.I.P. And then it's Battle for the Cowl, and I can't remember the name of it, but Batman basically, there's like Batman fighting through prehistoric times through to
kind of,
I think there's even like, there's a pirate Batman, there's a there's quite a few steampunk elements with that, and then by the time he gets back, that's when you go into Batman Inc. And then before all that really gets kind of bedded in, that's when New 52 kicks in.
Okay.
Nice.
Cool.
So...
Yeah, there sounds a lot there. But no, I mean, I like Dick Grayson. I think he's a, you know, from the little I've seen, he seems to be the most stable one.
I mean, Tim is probably the most stable because he didn't have traumatic.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't have as traumatic a start to it. But Dick's always held up as like the kindest one.
Okay.
You know, he has the most like, you know, and the most charming, and you know, the one that's actually like friendlier with other people as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, I mean, the whole idea of Battle for the Cowl is Tim Drake kind of the three main Robins. I mean, Damien doesn't, but Tim Drake puts on like a 70s bat suit. Dick puts on like a standard, like the current standard bat suit, and Jason Todd makes his own kind of more assassin-y bat suit.
Yeah.
And he's kind of going down that. No, we have to go back to the in the shadows. Except this time we kill people.
yeah.
And inevitably it ends up being Jason Todd versus Dick Grayson.
Oh.
To be fair, they have the most experience. It kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, despite doing a 50-mile swim, Damien is able to easily get through henchmen.
Yeah.
Well, just to admit the fact that he manages to cross the length and width of an entire country.
Yeah.
Faster than Batman can get over in a plane.
You know, many dolphins there. Maybe they helped him.
And he then sneaks onto an elevator because the actual base is on the sea floor. Because that's never went wrong. and it turns out that there is a Lazarus pit and a ton of man-bats.
Yeah, just waiting to be activated.
Like a literal army of man-bats.
Yeah.
Because they escape at one point.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they all... Yep.
So Robin then is confronted by Deathstroke with Talia al Ghul. Robin pulls a gun on him.
Which is great. Okay. Absolutely perfect.
Deathstroke goes, well, you can't shoot me before I shoot your mother. Robin puts the gun down. Deathstroke tries to shoot him. Tally puts herself in the way of the bullet.
Yeah.
And then Batman arrives and hits the Man-Bats with sonar so that they try and escape the building.
Which
one unleashes them onto the world. Though, admittedly, Nightwing and Kirk Lundstrom show up and shoot them with...
What is it? Langstrom's in that cockpit or whatever, the gun pit.
Yeah, because of course Batman has a gunnery position. Also, which, I mean, that has absolutely no side effects apart from leaving people massively tired in the ocean 50 miles from land.
Shark infested as well, we should see. So.
I forgot that.
Of course, shark infested. Come on.
Well, Damien did okay, so.
No. You're thinking of the wrong bit of the colonies. No, Australia has the sharks, not Scotland.
Exactly.
That's too funny.
So, meanwhile, so Batman is saving Talia. And it's actually Robin who fights Deathstroke.
Well, it had to be, though. I mean, because it was
And it's a great fight.
It is.
It's a really good fight, yeah.
God.
Yeah. And it ends with Robin covering Deathstroke in acid, or I'm not sure what it's meant to be. It looks like it's meant to be Lazarus pit juice, which surely that would make him stronger.
It did look like that, though. You're not
wrong. It did look like, yeah. But it seemed to muck up with his cape, Robin's cape, because he backed into it, and it seemed to have some sort of corrosive effect. So
yeah,
that's what I thought. But yeah.
So Robin refuses to kill Deathstroke. I then don't. For some reason, the version that I had access to then cuts to Damien, Batman, and Talia are up at surface level. So I don't know what happens to Deathstroke.
I can't remember.
Oh, there's a little shot of him. He kind of falls when the whole rig starts collapsing, and you just see his body, I assume, just falling amongst the debris. It's a little bit ambiguous.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, so they deliberately don't kill him.
Because they, you know, we very rarely kill anyone.
Yeah, well, he could have survived.
Can I also ask as well, Damien, like, when do you think that turning point occurred for him to actually decide I'm my father's son rather than my grandfather's, you know, grandchild?
I think it's like when he watches, I think it's as he sees how Batman holds himself. I think it's like done out of respect that it's pretty good.
Okay, because it seemed like he was still kind of...
And I think he's still annoyed that, like, the Lazarus pit, you know, that he was kind of thrown out from there a little bit.
Right, yeah, okay. Yeah, because it seemed like he came around at that stage.
Yeah.
Because up until then, he'd been very much... I'm going to kill, you know? Yeah.
So it's not... But for whatever reason, it is decided that... Batman goes, nope, this is my son. I'm going to raise him. You've made him into a killing machine. I'm going to make him less killy.
Yeah.
He can be a Robin. That's good.
Yeah. And then he refers to himself in the third person or something. Like he belongs with the Batman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which, to be... it's not quite... I think it's not ever quite clear if Talia just lets him go, or if Talia just goes, well, if that's what he wants, we'll let him train. You know, it's additional training.
Yeah.
So inevitably, the next time Talia turns up, it'll be because Damien's gone too soft.
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, exactly.
So that is the end of Son of Batman. Though during the credits, there is a fight between Damien and Nightwing.
That's, you know, that they should have showed us earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's... Yeah, that I quite enjoyed that. I didn't expect to enjoy it quite as much as I did.
Yeah, I think it's a good, fun little film.
Absolutely. I totally enjoyed it as well. Like I said, the animation, the fighting... the story, I mean, we can poke fun at some of it, but, you know, it's
pretty good, really. I mean, it works.
Yeah.
I just thought it had a very big intro, but I think otherwise it would have been a very short film, so I kind of get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, this film also did quite well financially. I think it did about $7 million, so...
That's all right, yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, it's Batman.
Yeah, I think that's the kind of thing, is it's that... I mean, this is the first DCMU Batman film, but it is more a Robin film.
It is,
Batman's the name
title
on the marquee.
Is still Son of Bat. You know Batman's going to be, you know, big in there.
Yeah. So we do go back to the DCAMU in a month's time with Justice League Throne of Atlantis, which introduces Aquaman to the DCAMU. Not that they do anything with him, but it does introduce him. and before that, however, in 2 weeks' time, we're going to be covering Batman Assault on Arkham.
Those poor Arkham patients.
Poor Arkham patients.
So, as I mentioned, this is set in the Batman Arkham video game series. This film is, much like how Son of Batman's actually a Robin film, this film's actually a Suicide Squad film.
Okay. I'll steal myself for that.
Okay.
Rebecca's like...
noted hater of the Suicide Squad, Rebecca.
Yeah, so...
Do you know what? The only time I think they've appeared, I quite like them. So, you know.
I mean, it's... I would say it's a better Suicide Squad movie than the Suicide Squad movie that we've got in live action. It's... I mean, I've got some... The one thing is it's meant to be in the Arkham universe, but there are five or six different things that you... No, that doesn't make sense. That doesn't work. Because it's not even that. I love the Arkham series. It goes from... Like Arkham Origins. When Arkham Origins is released, it's like, this is 5 years before Arkham Asylum. Mm-hmm. And then when the next Arkham game comes out, they go... no, it wasn't 5 years. It was actually 8 years. Because we need to have some sort of explanation for how you could possibly have gone through three Robins.
Yeah, right?
We can't go through three Robins in 5 years. Because it's...
Well, Batman, give it a good go.
Because it's basically implied that at the time of Arkham Asylum, Jason Todd's been kidnapped. So it's not even that they've gone through a Robin. They've gone through a Robin who's turned into Nightwing. And there's... Well, actually, before, even longer than that, because it's... Not only that, but in between times, Barbara Gordon's been paralysed and Tim Drake's the third Robin.
God, yeah.
Oh, it's the timeline when you actually look at it is a mess.
For most comics, though, to be honest, because they never really age anyone up, so they end up getting into all sorts of trouble.
Yeah.
So, but that's And we do have a guest for that show as well.
Yes,
that's confirmed. Because I'm recording a podcast with him later that day.
Hey.
So, yep, that's the next two films that are coming up. As we mentioned at the start, Ray, you appear in quite a few different podcasts. The floor is yours if you want to do a plug.
Oh, yeah, sure. Look, I think the best way to contact me or find out more about these shows, just on Twitter, at RayRayPod, R-E-Y-R-E-Y-Pod. It just leads to links and stuff to the Twitter accounts for the other shows. Yeah, go check them out. They're all available on, you know, all good podcast catches. So once again, yeah, characters like Moon Knight, Superman, Spider-Woman, and I also have a monthly spot on a podcast called Capes and Lunatics. At the end of each month, we look at, I guess, the journey that is Ben Reilly, aka the Scarlet Spider. We're going through the whole clone saga thing, which is a very interesting and fun.
Well, you know, I actually might listen to that.
Yeah, it's
good.
I like
Ben, and I've never really tackled the clone saga.
Yeah. Yeah, I like Ben as well. You know, Rebecca, when we did, just as an aside, The Damnation, there was a crossover of the Scarlet Spider title, and just a very intriguing character, so it's really good to see his origins. But yeah, those four characters, at RayRayPod on Twitter. Yeah.
Fantastic. And is there any podcasts that you've appeared in recently, Rebecca?
No, I've had it quite easy. I've just been doing this one. But I mean, the Immortal Iron Fist one is recording the conclusion of Heart of the Dragon, if you want a very spirited response to the latest mini series. And then I'm going to be doing one with Ray soon, for Moon Knight.
Yeah, that should be fun.
Yeah,
I get the impression Moon Knight might be a little bit more popular in the next few weeks.
I mean, it's getting there, right?
Oh,
it's just,
no
like,
doubt.
It's not, I mean, like, you know, I think it'll be a while for the show. I think my guess for the show is next spring.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Oh, sorry. I meant to tell you about this. You can cut this out, Alan. They're releasing a Moon Knight collection in February, and they're releasing one in March.
Oh, what? Really?
Yeah, I read it on Bleeding Cool, so I didn't want to spread it, but it was just like they're doing one in February and one in March. I can't remember even what they're collecting. I'll try and find it for you and I'll send you.
I will definitely be getting it.
Yeah, no, they look good. And so I was like, well, if they're doing one in February and one in the March, that kind of implies that it might be coming out in the summer. They might not. I mean, you know.
It might be mid-year. I mean, but it sounds, if they're starting to release those collections, it sounds.
They usually do one around then. It's just, I don't know, because they've got a lot to get out of the way first. They have to do, like, Ms. Marvel and Hawkeye first. But I think one of those, at least one of those, is, like, September, October time. So it's possible that we get Moon Knight in late March for my birthday, Ray. For my
exciting.
So it's purely speculation on my grounds, but there's a new comic series coming in July, Alan, which is
Alan.
So that's why we think that's why it looks good.
Yep.
Fantastic. The other podcast I'm still doing is Rise of the Robots. By the time this comes out, we'll have started our coverage of Robot Wars Extreme Warriors, which was the American edition of Robot Wars that was filmed in the UK.
I love that fact. That's still my favourite fact, is that it was filmed in the UK first.
Yeah.
It's just so weird, like, why you would do that.
All the series of Robot Wars that were ever released, which is British, Dutch, German, and American, were all filmed in the UK. Which, yeah, it's an interesting combination, including, we're actually missing one of those episodes out, because it actually, that's the thing that happens with this and with the German series as well, is it's basically the same as an episode of Robot Wars, except it's with different commentary.
No.
And which is hilarious.
Yeah, which... So, thank you very much for listening to the DCAU podcast. Actually, that reminds me. Yes, we have feedback for this episode, for this film. So, I don't know, you might have heard of this guy, Connor McKenna?
Okay.
Well, that's right, he sent it to you because he didn't want to spoil me because I hadn't watched it when he sent it.
Yes. So, Connor messaged us. So, this is his message. Feedback on for Batman and Son. I haven't seen this in a while, but I remember really enjoying Damien calling Bruce out on his BS and being a delightful punk. It always looked odd to me to see Damien fighting and beating the full-grown super soldier that is Deathstroke, though. Anyway, I like these ones. I like Talia. Hate how Morrison really villainized her, though, by not bothering to research the story he was drawing from, Son of Batman. He's admitted it, and yes, this is rare Connor criticizing Grant Morrison.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that is rare for Connor.
Yeah. But, you know, I liked his run on Batman, so...
Okay.
So... Yes, so if you have any feedback for any of the films that we've already done or any that are coming up, which the next few that are coming up are Batman Assault on Arkham, Justice League Throne of Atlantis, Batman versus Robin.
Yeah, ooh, that's a fun one.
So the Robin-Batman relationship lasts longer. And...
Yeah, it's not so... Yeah, it is more of a more snarky to and froing. It's very fun, if I remember rightly.
And... Nice. Lego DC Comics Superheroes Justice League versus Bizarro
Lego,
League.
Lego, yay!
Whoa!
Very excited.
I might have to leave some feedback for a couple of those, actually.
Yeah, do.
Yeah, please do. Timeline-wise, Assault on Arkham is the last 2014 film we have, and then from there we're getting into 2015.
Wow. Mm-hmm. We've made it.
Yes. Oh, this is the part where it completely... Like it goes from one or two movies a year to 2015 is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The 7 in 2015. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
But
nine.
Some of them are like Lego ones and right, you know. So,
oh, yeah, but still, geez, that's
no, I know,
nine,
it's a lot, right?
There's 9 in 2016.
Wow, they must be really successful, like cashing in.
9 in 2017.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, that's great. I mean, if it's the quality is like this, then yeah, for sure. I mean, why not?
There's 12 in 2018.
Wow. That's one a month.
3, 4, 5, 6.
That's insane.
That is crazy. And then it tails off from there, but yeah, 2018 is... I'm not... Well, spoiler. Scooby-Doo and Batman.
I cannot wait.
Gotham by Gaslight, which I quite like, even though it completely ignores huge chunks of the comic book, including who Jack the Ripper is.
Mm-hmm.
Suicide Squad Hell to Pay, which I think is the best Suicide Squad movie, admittedly from a field of two. Lego DC Comics Superheroes The Flash. Freedom Fighters The Ray, which is in the Arrowverse. Batman Ninja, which I have some opinions on. not necessarily good ones. Lego DC Superhero Girls Super Villain High.
Although they're supposed to be... That's actually supposed to be a lot of fun. I have friends who are massive fans. So.
Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Mm-hmm. I've seen that one.
Featuring the last Stan Lee cameo before he passed away.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the last Stan Lee cameo when he was alive was a DC movie.
Yeah, wow.
But it was pretty close with Venom, to be fair.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
The Death of Superman, which is the second adaptation of Superman Doomsday.
Yeah.
That one, it splits with Reign of the Supermen.
Yeah, I think I've seen that one. Yeah.
Constantine City of Demons. which when it was written was part of the Arrowverse, and then when it was made they changed it to be part of the DC AMU. Lego DC Comics superhero Aquaman Rage of Atlantis. DC Superhero Girls Legends of Atlantis. And that's everything in 2018. There's 12 films.
God.
And only, crazy. And only two of them are Batman. Wow. Hank, there's a Constantine in there. Constantine. Sorry, Rebecca.
Thank you. So, you know, if you can manage Rachel Gould, you can manage Constantine.
So, yeah. Weirdly, it drops off in 2020. I wonder why.
Yeah, I wonder. But anyway.
Anyway. So, if you have any feedback for us or any... either the films or the podcast, you can email us at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com.
Yes, please do.
Thank you for listening to the DCAU podcast. You can follow us on social media. We're at DCAU podcast on Twitter. Or you can email into us with either feedback on our show or on the movies we're about to watch at dcaupodcast@yahoo.com. The DCAU podcast is protected under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 4.0 International License. Thank you for listening.